Let's head for Ireland. And indeed, let us go to Wexford. Let's go to the Wexford Opera House Hall. How are you there, David McLaughlin, Chief Executive? How are you doing?
How are you, Adrian? Very good. How are you?
Great, great. Listen, for the benefit of those who may not know the significance of the Wexford and the tradition of the Wexford opera and the history of it. Maybe you start by filling us in on that. And why Wexford? How come Wexford?
Sure. Well, I mean, in many ways, that's one of the enduring questions about why Wexford and how has what has now become one of the most famous and most successful opera festivals in the world, how has it endured for 63 years? It's a very good question, because I think if you sort of look back to what Wexford Town in 1951 would have been like, it was a fairly quiet, bleak backwater in many ways, like a lot of parts of rural Ireland were in the 1950s. But really what happened was that a group of local enthusiasts, including the local doctor and the local postman, they set up what was known then as a gramophone society, and they literally used to come together and listen to gramophone records, and they had a great love of opera, and they thought, well, look, why don't we set up our own opera festival? And they were encouraged by a guy called Sir Compton Mackenzie, who was famous in those days because he actually published what was then called the Gramophone Magazine, and he came over to give a lecture in November 1950, and he encouraged him to set up an opera festival. And they said, why not? And they got a group of local members of the community to help them out. And they set up the opera festival, and the first one was in 1951, and it kept going every year since then. And it is quite a remarkable achievement, because, and it's unusual in many ways, because it is a great example of an amazing cultural event, but also community event, which was founded by the community in the community. And in fact, for the first 38 years of the festival's 63-year history, there wasn't one paid staff member. It was entirely run by volunteers. And we still are very fortunate. We have a volunteer corps of over 350 people who help in all aspects of the festival's operations for the 10, 12 days of the festival. So it is a remarkable story, and it's gone on to the point where Wexford is now the third most popular opera destination in the world for opera lovers, and that's been voted by the Frommers magazine. In the last 2 years, we've won awards at the International Opera Awards in London. And, you know, it is a remarkable event because it has managed to stand the test of time, and in many ways because it is famous, I think, for, we kind of sum it up in one word, which is discovery. And it really what it's about is discovering, you know, very rare operas, not just, you know, operas that people may find hard to get into, but just rare operas, and the fact that they're new operas or operas you wouldn't hear elsewhere. And also what it's most famous for is rediscovering new talent, because Wexford from the very beginning had a reputation for platforming new young singers from Ireland, but in particular from right around the world, because it's a very international festival, and in particular from the United States and from Canada as well. And there's many famous singers who are now, you know, huge on the international opera stage, and, you know, performers who regularly perform at the Met, for example, who actually started their careers in Wexford and actually would count Wexford as being key to their success, because it was very much a kind of a career lifting point for them in terms of coming to Wexford first. So I think that whole sense of discovering new works, discovering very unique cultural delicacies as such, and the fact that it's a great way to sort of see the future opera stars of tomorrow and see them first in Wexford, that's what's kept it going.
Can you describe the opera house itself? Mm.
Yeah, the opera house was completed in 2008, and again, you know, I'm sure a lot of your listeners probably know Wexford Town or probably been in Wexford Town. Wexford Town is a beautiful Viking town in southeast Ireland, about 100 kilometres, 100 miles south of Dublin. Coastal town, fishing town, beautiful place. But right in the middle of this, you know, reasonably small Irish town is this very, very large opera house. The festival used to perform in what was an old theatre, which was originally built in the 1830s and had been upgraded over the years. But by the early part of this particular century, it was fairly clear that just it was no longer fit for purpose. So again, given the kind of ingenuity of the organisers of the festival and the local community, they bandied together and they convinced the government at the time that, you know, Wexford could do it, a new opera house, and they raised an awful lot of private funding themselves. And the government said, well, look, we're very impressed by your level of private funding, so we've kind of matched that and we put in some public funding. So in 2006, the old Theatre Royal was demolished and it was a 2-year build and this new amazing opera house was built, which opened in 2008. And, you know, as I've often said, it was a building that was, you know, finished sort of just in time, but to a certain extent you could say almost opened at the wrong time, because it was really, it still stands as being the last kind of major example of cultural infrastructure in Ireland before the crash hit and the economy collapsed.
Yeah.
And in fact, I frequently said that, and I remember it very well when the building was being finished. I was very much involved at the time. I remember saying at the time, even when the economy was not going the right direction, that we're very fortunate this building is nearly finished rather than just starting, because just starting probably would have stopped, and in fact we could still have a kind of an unfinished building there. But it's an amazing building. It's got two amazing auditoriums in it. The main theatre is nearly 800 seats and it's specifically designed for opera, but also it is a multifunctional building as well. It's open 12 months a year, all year round, and we have everything in the building outside the Opera Festival, from classical music to ballet to dance to stand-up comedy to popular music. So it's a very modern, very well-equipped, beautifully designed modern performance centre, which is also, by the way, Ireland's only purpose-built opera house, because, again, Ireland is somewhat unique in that it's the only country in Europe, for example, that doesn't have a purpose-built opera house in its capital city. And Ireland does have a purpose-built opera house, but it's not in its capital city, it's in Wexford. So that's, you know, Ireland does have a brilliant opera house, but it doesn't have to be in the capital city. But we're very glad it's in Wexford.
And so are we. Of course, opera, for instance, Cork City would say, wait a minute now. We're up there as well, and we have... indeed a tradition in Cork City for opera. So it is not, whereas it is the, again, being voted, the third most significant year than the Wexford Opera House, it is by no means the only opera. Opera is indeed crept into... into a lot of the culture of Ireland through the natural ability and inclination of singing and songs and going back to the gramophone that you made reference to earlier, the wind up gramophone and the access to operatic music. Somehow, when we look at our own history and say, well, when did it really, when did that kick in? What role, say, did the world famous John Count McCormick, what role did he play in the awareness? Did it go back, from an Irish perspective?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, John McCormick would be kind of considered very much a kind of an Irish hero in many ways. And I think, it's interesting that opera is, a very popular performance art form in Ireland. However, it still is only followed by a small number of people. Those that do follow it are very passionate about it, but there's a lot of people that don't necessarily have an interest in opera in Ireland. But a lot of that is because of a lot of people find it difficult to get access to opera. And that comes back to what I was mentioning about the fact that there actually isn't a huge amount of opera performed in Ireland relative to the size of the country. I mean, there's far more theatre performed, there's much more access to movies, et cetera,
Yeah.
And part of that as well does come down to, and it's interesting to look at other parts of Europe whereby, young people would grow up and they would be taken up, including in Eastern Europe. And, we have a lot of singers who come from Eastern Europe and would come from countries that formerly were behind the Iron Curtain. And a number of them said to me they remember growing up very well when they were kids in kind of the old Czechoslovakia and the old Yugoslavia and so on, as they used to be. And they very clearly remember being brought to the opera house in their local town, not just in the local capital city, but kind of the local town.
Yeah.
They remember very clearly being brought there every Saturday or Sunday by their parents. And it was actually as cheap to go to the local opera house to experience an opera as it was to go to the local cinema to watch a movie. And, you'd probably know as well that growing up as a child in Ireland, you never really had that access to opera. You certainly had the access to the cinema. You had the access to things in the pantomimes and theatre. But in many ways, the appreciation of opera isn't quite sort of inbred in the Irish DNA as it might be in some other countries, certainly in Europe and probably in the United States as well, for that matter. So in many ways, trying to promote opera in Ireland is a bit more of a challenge. And in many ways, Wexford is a great opportunity to promote it because it's 12 days of kind of wall-to-wall opera, and it's a very high-profile event, and it's considered to be one of Ireland's leading cultural events, etc. But, you know, what I suppose what we're trying to do as well is that one of the things about Wexford is that it is an international brand. It attracts artists from all around the world. It attracts audiences from all around the world as well. So it's a great opportunity to promote opera and also classical music and recitals, because we do more than just opera. We also have recitals and piano recitals and classical choral concerts, etc. But all it's really about a kind of a celebration of the voice. You know, it's all about vocal music, including opera. And Wexford's a great platform to do that, and it's also a great platform to promote Irish talent as well, because we have a lot of people abroad who come to Wexford, as I say, to discover new talent, yeah. And a lot of that new talent to discover is Irish talent. So it's a great career platform and springboard for artists from all around the world, from the United States, from Ireland, and from other places around the world as well.
Now, the American Friends of Wexford,
yes,
Opera. Let's start with something that we should point out. This is not just a once-a-year festival, though it is indeed. It attracts a massive number of opera lovers, and indeed classical music lovers, to that great, 12-day event. Also, when you think of Americans, with your first New York dinner gala last year to benefit the Wexford Festival Opera. This is not just a New York group. We found that from across America, so many attended that not only your event here, but some great enthusiasts have been on board for a long time, and in fact played a significant role. We know it was the government's funding primarily, but you had Americans who dug deep into making all of this happen as well.
Absolutely, and we absolutely couldn't have done, not just, for example, kept the opera festival going, but also we couldn't have got the opera house completed, or indeed we couldn't have launched our initiative in the United States without the great and generous support of so many people in the United States, and Canada for that matter as well. We have, great friends such as Loretta Brennan-Glucksman, who I'm sure you all know very well, as, probably the leading Irish-American philanthropist and a fantastic supporter of so many causes. She's actually the honorary patron of our American Friends.
That's
she
a good
also
place
was,
to start, yeah.
And she was a great supporter of our foundation as well, and supported the building of the Opera House greatly. But as you rightly point out, I mean, at last year's inaugural gala, we had people from right across the United States, people from the West Coast, East Coast, people from Chicago, etc. We also had supporters from Vancouver. So it's really a North American initiative rather than just a U.S. or certainly not a New York initiative per se. But we're very fortunate because it goes back, I suppose, to the fact that Wexford has this international reputation and it has a prestige about it, that when this initiative started, which really took a number of years to really kind of build up, and the whole idea of the American Friends of Wexford Opera, as we call it, is really to help the Opera Festival to expand its audience base and its donor base, and also to enhance its media profile in the United States and in Canada. And again, what the gala last year was all about was not just a celebration of Wexford Opera and to give people a taste of what Wexford Opera is all about, but it's also to allow supporters of Wexford to support a particular project. It wasn't simply a bland thing saying just support Wexford Opera full stop. What it was about was supporting, helping, allowing our friends in America and in North America and Canada and the United States, allowing them to bring to Wexford a particular opera that without your support wouldn't happen. And the case of last year, it was an opera, it was actually a very rare Swedish opera called Christina Regina de Svezia, which was a great opera. But the significance of it was that it subsequently went on to win a major award at the International Opera Awards in London last April. So, again, thanks to the American Friends of Wexford Opera, we were allowed, or we were in a position, given all the donations we received, to present this opera in Wexford a month after the gala, and then subsequently won this great award. The significance of this year's gala, which takes place on Wednesday the 10th of September in De Pierre, so it's only about 10 days away from now, is that the particular project that the gala and the proceeds from it will support is actually an American opera. And it's even more to the point, it's an American opera that won a Pulitzer Prize in 2012. And again, there's a huge significance to it because it's an opera called Silent Night, mm-hmm. which is based on the French movie of 2005, which is Joie Noël. And of course, what that is based upon is the real life events 100 years ago, almost to the day in 1914, when there was a very brief truce in World War One between the opposing sides, and they laid down their arms for a very brief period, and the opera is all about that. So we're particularly proud that we're presenting the European premiere of this American opera in Wexford in October. And the American Gala, which is coming up very shortly, all the proceeds for that will go towards allowing Wexford to present the European premiere of an American opera, which, following its premiere in Minnesota in 2011, subsequently won a Pulitzer Prize in 2012. And obviously the year that's in it, and obviously I know both in the United States and certainly in Europe, there's a huge amount of attention and a huge amount of coverage all about the centenary to start of World War One, and a huge amount of interest as well for that matter. So it's a very apt and I think very poignant that we're in a position to present this opera, but only due to the thanks and due to the support of our American friends.
Absolutely. The dinner chairman, Shane Naughton, of course.
That's right. Great man, great supporter of ours, and has really led the initiative superbly for the last 2 years. He started off as dinner chairman last year, and he's doing a tremendous job. And we have a great committee over there that Shane is very ably chairing. As I said, the retros are only patrons, great support as well. We have a fantastic event organizer, Carla Capone, who I'm sure you know very well too, and is a fantastic organizer of many similar events, and she's a great supporter of ours too. So, you know, we're very fortunate. We have a fantastic team of people, and we have great supporters over there. And, you know, we're really looking forward to as many people as possible joining us on the tent in De Pierre, because apart from anything else, it is a great night. I mean, you know, I'm sure anyone who organizes a gala says that galas say the same thing, and I know there's galas virtually every 10 minutes in New York, but the point is that it is quite unique, it's quite different, it's a very enjoyable evening, and it also is a great cause as well. So, you know, we're looking forward to meeting as many friends as possible at the event on the 10th of September.
Now, also we could mention that whereas the Wexford Festival Opera, and indeed Wexford itself, and its recognition as, again, throughout the world, you can become quite parochial, if you don't mind my mentioning, and that this year, your honored guest... Now, this might well be a coincidence, but being from Mayo myself, nothing is really a coincidence. You have the new Consul General of Ireland, Barbara Jones, as your honoured guest.
That's right.
She's from Wexford.
She is from Wexford, indeed, and we're very proud to say she's from Wexford. And by the way, I'm from Dublin, so I can be quite objective at these things. Yeah, we're delighted that Barbara has agreed to accept the invitation, and in fact, it's going to be her very first official engagement in her role as the Consul General of Ireland in New York. We have known Barbara for a number of years because she formerly was the number two in the Irish Embassy in London, and we have an event every year in the Irish Embassy in London, which the Irish Ambassador
right.
London hosts. So we've known her for a number of years, but Barbara she's a fantastic person. I think she'll be absolutely superb in her new role. She's a very experienced diplomat, and she's a great supporter of the arts and culture, as well as has a huge understanding of politics and the diplomatic world, etc.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that she is also from Wexford, from Enniscorthy, and in fact she was telling me recently that she has very fond memories of growing up with Colm Tobin. Herself and Colm were great pals when they grew up a number of years ago down in Enniscorthy.
Wow.
So it is in many ways a small world. But, you know, apart from that, you know, we think it's a great endorsement of the event that the new Consul General has agreed to make this particular event her first official engagement. And obviously it's a great opportunity for, you know, many, many people in New York and further afield to be the first to meet her, basically, in her new role, and to give her a great welcome to New York, and to have that opportunity to, introduce themselves to her and to have a chance with her on the night. So, you know, we're delighted. And obviously, as you rightly point out, the fact it's from Wexford is a nice little touch to it as well.
Absolutely. Now, guest performers, tell us about...
Yeah, we have two guest performers. Our special guest performer, and who's going to be the recipient of what we call the Wexford Alumni Award, which is basically an award to present to famous members of the Wexford Alumni, is an artist called Brian Himmel, who may well be known to many of your listeners. Mm-hmm. Brian first performed in Wexford in 2007 and 2008, but since then he has gone on to much bigger and better things in many ways. He's now hugely successful career and is actually appearing on the night with us, courtesy of the Metropolitan Opera, where he performs very, very frequently. And he's performed all around the world, everywhere from the Carnegie Hall to Covent Garden to right around the world. Hugely successful performer, one of the biggest American opera stars now on the international circuit. And again, it's a great example of an opera star who basically started his career in Wexford and went on to much sort of bigger and better things since then. So he will perform on the night. So again, for anyone who has any interest in opera, and certainly for anyone who would have probably heard Brian perform in other places before, here's a great opportunity to have what's going to be a very private and intimate recital given by him on the night of the gala. And then our second performer is a young performer actually from Canada. She's a French-Canadian called Marie Munger, and she again is a great example of a new up-and-coming opera star who is about to premiere in Wexford. After the gala, she will very soon after travel over to Wexford for the 4 weeks rehearsals. She will be performing as soprano in one of this year's operas called Don Pucefalo, which is an Italian opera which we're presenting this year. She's a great performer, a real rising star, and again, it's another example, kind of filling with that whole idea of discovery. It's a great opportunity for people to discover a new talent, which, you know, they probably may not have heard before, but to really enjoy. And, you know, we're very confident to say that, you know, it's only a matter of another few years before she's as big a star as Brian Himmel is now.
Wow. We could should also mention that the Glocklin influence has a New York connection as well. Your brother Kieran McLaughlin is indeed his role in the American Ireland Fund, and indeed the World Funds, brings him throughout the world, and he is indeed very, very involved here. Which brings me to perhaps your own background, family background. What role did music in general, as yourself as a Dubliner, what can you describe for us the music and the atmosphere in your own house growing up?
Yeah, absolutely, sure, and certainly yes. And just to acknowledge this, Kieran is indeed my brother, and he's, as you rightly point out, he's been based in the United States for almost 10 years now, since 2004, and is president CEO of the World Without Arm Funds. And just to say that, speaking objectively, he's been a huge supporter of this initiative and has provided great advice and encouragement and so on. So just acknowledge that, and indeed the American Ireland Fund themselves, because they effectively act as our U.S. trust in the United States. So just to acknowledge their great assistance as well in terms of allowing this event to happen last year and this year indeed. Interesting in terms of my own family background and I suppose my early career background. Funny enough, my background actually, at least from a career point of view, was actually in the film industry. I ended up working as a film and TV producer in Ireland, and it was only by chance that I was approached to see would I be interested in taking on the role in Wexford in terms of the Opera Festival. And at the time, I remember saying, which was in 2007, you know, I certainly would be very interested, but I actually don't know a huge amount about opera. And they said, well, actually, that's fine, because we're looking for somebody who won't be a sort of frustrated opera director. We're actually looking for somebody who would be willing to run the company and take it on from almost a business, a commercial point of view. And I'm very fortunate that my colleague, who I work very closely with, David Agler, who's our artistic director,
yeah,
you know, he is the person who's responsible for choosing the operas and choosing the singers, and I'm the one who's responsible for, I suppose, pretty much everything else, I suppose, in many ways. But, you know, we work very well as a team, as a lot of artistic and cultural events do, where you have a sort of a business head on one side and you have an artistic head on the other, you know. And in many ways, in terms of my own family background, we were very fortunate, myself and Kieran and my sister as well, for that matter, that we grew up in a house that was, you know, very open to culture and very appreciative of culture. It wasn't necessarily a house whereby there was music nonstop or there was always somebody playing on the piano, but certainly it was a house whereby my parents were both very interested in music and very frequently would attend, for example, the National Concert Hall in Dublin, and very frequently would take us to the Concert Hall as well. So, you know, that's going back to what I mentioned earlier on about the inbred DNA and so on, that opera may not necessarily have been part of it, and that's really to a certain extent because the access to opera wasn't as great as it would have been to other forms of classical music. But certainly in terms of an appreciation of arts and culture, it was very much inbred in us, in all of us from a very early age. And I think that's really lasted, and I think that really shows the benefit and the power of culture and how important it is.
You know, earlier when I was mentioning that, you know, opera and Ireland, we don't think of Ireland as being the hotbed of opera, with the exception, again, of course, of Wexford. But opera and operatic performances crept its way into many of the variety concerts and shows and even in family gatherings and the parlor music. There was always a touch that was in there. The access now and the tremendous world attraction to opera and indeed to Wexford Festival Opera is indeed it's a great opportunity. I wanted to tell our listeners, and for those who might be just learning about this, that the dinner, the gala in the Pierre Hotel, one of the finest venues in New York City, Fifth Avenue and 61st Street, will take place on Wednesday, September 10th, with a reception at 7. It is a black tie event, and dinner at 8 o'clock. But the tickets are available, and there are some tickets, and indeed there are opportunities to support the Wexford Festival Opera as well. But the tickets, $185 per person, and indeed with the less the projected dinner cost, it's a 501c3. It is fully tax deductible, and information, reservations, you can actually log on, friends, to www.wexfordopera.com. But considering that this is coming up fairly rapidly, might I also suggest that you could contact Carla Capone at 212-213-1166. That's 212-213-1166. You might consider also, for somebody who has an interest in opera, it's a nice gift to give somebody for the event. Again, it's taking place on September 10th in the Pierre Hotel in New York. And as with last year, this is the second last year for the inaugural dinner gala, we were delighted indeed to meet so many people who have been connected with, including obviously yourself, those who have been very much a part of the tremendous success of Wexford and the opera and the festival. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you very much, Adrian. Really appreciate it. Thank
okay.
you so much.
All right. Friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. This is the Flannelly Show. And again, this is a unique Irish cultural event. So again, it's the American Friends of Wexford Opera. And the website will give you all the information if you're thinking of doing coming or indeed making a nice gift to somebody to attend the gala. And you can pay by credit card to make your reservations. 212-213-1166. Wexford Opera. Again, you can email, or indeed you can get the details on our Facebook page, so Zonia Sheridan, which is Irish Radio. We are heading over to Ireland for news and sports, friends, from Kevin O'Connor. And there's plenty of news and a lot of sports activities, including... Well, why don't we get Kevin to tell us about it himself. You're listening to WVNJ, 1160 AM, Oakland, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut. You may be listening to us indeed on link stations and through... IrishRadio.com, as the program is simulcast worldwide, and then our interviews are archived. Again, it's IrishRadio.com, and that is www.IrishRadio.com. And now.